Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible. As I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word, I see myself as God sees me. I am who He says I am. I have what He says I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive, my mind is alert, and I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Well, you know, someone asked me one day, why do we say that every service? I said, well, how does faith come? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the word of God, when you say, I am who He says I am, I have what He says I have, I can do what He says I can do, you're just affirming, giving affirmation as to what the word of God says. He says I'm healed. I am what He says I am. You might say I'm broke or I'm sick, but I say what God says. And the more you say the word over your own life, the more you will get a picture of it. And you've got to visualize yourself healthy. You've got to visualize yourself with it. You understand? And that's why, you know, when you go buy a car, the dealer will ask you, can you see yourself in this car? And if you say no, he's going to leave that car and go to another one. They want you to visualize. You know, that's why TV, they'll show you and they'll spend, I don't know, $30 million for a half a minute advertisement in the Super Bowl. You think they just want to give you money and throw it away? No. They give you a picture. They want you to see yourself with a Bud Light or in that car or with that sickness, whatever they're selling. The medication they're selling, but you don't need the medication unless you're sick. Do you? So they sell the medication and you get the vision. Well, I have got those kind of symptoms. So, hello, you don't believe me? What is that box called that you're looking at? A tele what? A tele what? A vision? Tell a vision. What are they doing? Telling you a vision. And they're getting you to visualize what they're trying to move. Amen. Amen. So it's important that we confess God's word over our lives and that we see ourselves as God sees us. If you don't know who you are in Christ, if you don't know who you are in Christ, what the word of God says about you, He says that you're a child of His, you're an heir, a joint heir. He says that He supplies all your needs. He says all these things. He says you're seated together with Christ in heavenly places. He says, great is He that's in your life than he that's in the world. That's in me than he that's in the world. If you don't know who you are in Christ, how are you going to know when the light comes and tells you you're sick? And tells you you're broke. And tells you you're miserable. And tells you you're never going to make it. That's the lie. But if you know the truth, God's word is truth, you will reject the lie. Amen. Amen. And I don't know about you. There's some words I want to hear one day. I mean, I want to hear them now. Well done. But when I go on to be with the Lord, either in the rapture or if I die and they put me in the ground, whichever comes first, I'm not fighting it. I just know how long I'm going to live because He made a promise, right? How many years did He promise us? Yes. You know, it's in Genesis 6:3, right? Read it. If you don't know, read it. And I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into my rest. Amen. Correct? I'm a child, but I serve God. Amen? Amen? So I want to hear those words. But how would you like to hear some words that David heard? And you know the words that David heard? He said that David is a man after my own heart. How would you like that statement from God about you? Amen. Come on, don't pretend you wouldn't love to hear that. You're a person with a heart just like mine. You're after my heart. I would give anything to hear God say that. And that's basically what it takes is everything. You understand? And so I want to give you a little bit of a word tonight on how to become a person after God's own heart. Amen? Wouldn't that be great? I mean, when he said that to David, is that because David was better than you and me? There's scriptures, I've got seven of them, that says God is not a respecter of people. He won't respect someone above you. It's a level playing field in the kingdom. That's what I love. It's a level playing field. Everybody's got equal opportunity there. Doesn't matter your color. Doesn't matter your gender. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter where you were born. Doesn't matter your job situation. Doesn't matter your social standing or status. Is that correct? Doesn't matter if you're a queen of England or you're a worker in a ditch in Africa. It's not any different to God. You're equal in His sight. Is that correct? So if God could say about David, he's a man after my own heart, could He not say the same thing about us? Well, He said it to David, and I'd love to hear Him say it to me. Remember, He called Abraham. He said, you're a friend of mine. Remember those words? God called different people different things at different times. People that could impact God by their trust and belief and faith in Him. You understand? You think about someone like Joshua. Joshua became, he was Isaac's son, and he became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob. My mistake. Someone should have corrected me. You should have added right there. Jacob. He was Isaac's son. Isaac was Abraham's son. So it was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. From Jacob came the 12 tribes, 10 plus 2, 12 tribes of Israel. But Jacob was a supplanter. He was a deceiver. We all know that Jacob was a deceiver. But God saw something in Jacob. You see, don't you look at what people label you. Don't you look at what you might even think of yourself. Look at the Word of God and see what God says about your life. And God looked at that deceiver. Remember Jacob? He deceived his son, his brother Esau, for his inheritance. Remember that whole deal went down? If you don't know that, you really need to understand and study these out. He deceived his brother out of his inheritance and he had to run. But you know, as you sow, the world says what goes around comes around. Well, the Bible says as you sow, what? So shall you reap. Is that correct? So this guy who deceived his brother out of his inheritance went and worked for their cousin Laban. Remember that deal? He worked for Laban. Now Laban happened to be a deceiver, just like he was. And he ended up working for Laban. And after 7 years, he fell in love with Laban's daughter, Rachel. And said, I want to marry her. And he said, okay, work for me for 7 years, and you can have her after the 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, he said, okay, give me my wife. He said, no, but you first got to have her sister, because she's the oldest of the two. He said, now hold on a second. Right? What is her name?
Leah.
All right? So he says, you can have her. So work another 7 years, you can have her. So he works another 7 years. And eventually, after 21 years being with Laban, being deceived, he ends up making a lot of wealth because God gave him away. But he met God. God met this man and changed his name from Jacob. Along the road, he met Jacob, who was walking, this deceiver. He was walking along, and he saw the windows of heaven open and a ladder coming down from heaven with the angels of God going up and down. Yes. A portal opened. God gave him a vision. And Jacob had sense enough to say, I'm not leaving here until you bless me, God. And he wrestled with the angel the whole night.
Yeah.
You remember that story? Yeah. And he wrestled the angel the whole night until it was getting daybreak. And then the angel touched him in the hip. Changed the way he walked.
Come on.
And changed his name. Amen. Remember, God changed Abram's name from father to Abraham, father of nations. Yes, he changed he changed Jacob's name to what?
Israel.
Israel. The father of the 12 tribes was called Israel. Now he walked with a limp. When you've been with God, you're going to look different. Something's going to be different about you. You can't meet God, have an encounter with God like that, and your speech doesn't change. And your faith doesn't grow. And your trust in Him doesn't get stronger. You can't meet God face to face and not come away there being untouched. You can't be untouched when you've had an encounter with God. How many of you have had an encounter with God? You see, you get an encounter with God, your life changes. It doesn't stay the same. When God touches your life, you're not that same person. Now, when you got saved, your spirit became brand new. And you became righteous. He made us righteous. You're changed. You're already changed. But we still think we're the old person. The old man has been crucified together with Christ. The new man has come. Put on. The Bible says, put on the new man. The new man is a born again winner. The old man is a sinful sinner. Loser. Right? So we put on the new man. So we are in a position to understand that God can say to us, you're a man after my own heart. But we're going to look at a few things that David did to understand what qualified David, what really qualified David to get a description like that. What qualified him to get the title from God, he's a man after my own heart. Oh my goodness, go with me to Acts 13. I need to understand, how come David, who did some pretty horrendous things.
Yes, he did.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Amen. He did, you all know what he did. He had an adulterous affair. He committed murder. He had so much pride to count how many people he took with him and followed him to destroy all these armies. He was in trouble. Yeah. He got into some serious trouble. But look at Acts 13, verse 20. Acts 13, 20. New King James. After that, God gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. So God had judges. You know there was a judge. Deborah was a judge. Do you know Samson was a judge? There were judges for God. God was the king. He wanted to be their king. They had judges to help them. But then they saw all the nations around them all had kings. And they started to gripe and complain and say, we want a king too. We want a king too. America got away from that king in England. Remember that? Kings can be ruthless. Kings can turn out to be dictators. God wanted to be their king. He is the King of Kings, don't forget, and the Lord of Lords. He's the great I am. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the bread of life. He's El Shaddai. He's Jehovah Jireh, my healer, my provider, my comforter. He's everything. He wanted to be the everything. When he told Moses, and Moses said, when I go to Egypt and tell them to let my people go, when I tell Pharaoh, who shall I say sent me? Because the Israelites are not going to believe me. Who shall I say sent me? He said, tell them I am. I am that I am, sent you. I am your king. I am your everything you need. They didn't need a king. They had the King of Kings, but they wanted a king. So that happened until Samuel the prophet, then in verse 21, and afterwards they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
The Church of the Holy Spirit in Palm City, Florida invites you to join us in prayer for revival and tune into this station every Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and p.m. for Glorious Day, a program of spiritual edification and encouragement led by our co-pastors.
Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times.